I believe you.
After so lost, 3 hours says, later, lost right, election. I said, yeah, he's right. Running again, right?
So how was the family?
How was you weren't doing anything important,
It was crowded.
Oh, yeah.
At least Apple asks.
But how about, how's David doing? You know, okay.
Yeah, he looks good. Yeah. You know, they gave him a nice little talk.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard now because everyone's coming around. The hard part will be when...
When you got to put in, starting to put the clothes away.
Yeah, you know, when life goes back to normal. You know, that's the hard part.
And it takes a while before it gets back to normal.
It does. It really does. I was just so shocked. Well, that's
good. You know, if you want to call something a good event, it was.
Yeah, it was. it was nice.
Yeah, Dina was there, Feingold.
She's the one who
presided.
Right. Yeah, because I think they go to go to temple there. Yeah, over at Beth Hillel. Wow. Well, that's good. I'm glad.
Well, youth and government is quiet.
Hi. How are you?
New event.
Looks like we're going to be one short of a forum.
Four is a quorum.
Yeah, you're right, it is. I wasn't good at math in high school.
Well, it's like you got to count yourself.
that's I never count myself.
So what happens? I've never been to a meeting where there isn't enough people. What happens?
You just can't vote on anything.
You can't vote on anything? Okay.
You still hold the meeting.
So when do you vote? The next meeting or
you just move the agenda to the next meeting or what?
Okay. I think that's only happened once.
Yeah.
That's any committee I've been on.
I don't think I've ever seen a committee come up short.
Are you getting it, David?
Yeah, we
got a printout.
All that for a tiny PDF document.
What do you expect it to be?
It's just a lot of work.
That's why I have it mine in Dropbox, so I can access it from any computer.
That's a good idea.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay.
Oh, you already?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay. The time is 6:32. The chair will call the Human Services Committee meeting of Monday, March 7th, 2016 to order. Ms. Margaret, could you please call the roll?
David Hallman?
Present.
Michael Gable?
Present.
Anita Johnson is excused. Aaron Decker?
Here.
Greg Retzloff is excused. Leah Blau?
Here.
Sarah Klimisch? Absent. And Jasmine Zeden?
Here.
Citizen comments. Are there any citizens who wish to speak? If so, please step forward before the committee. State your name and address for the record, and you will have 5 minutes. Seeing none, citizen comments is closed. Motion to approve the minutes of February 1st, 2016.
Motion approved.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Blau, second by Supervisor Gable. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Minutes are adopted.
She seems so...
Agenda item number 4, resolution to approve the county executive appointment of Judy Jensen to the Kenosha County Commission on Aging.
Judy is here tonight. She'd be a new appointment on the Commission on Aging. As you can see from the paperwork she filled out, she has a long history of being involved in our community. So if the committee has any questions, she's available.
Is there anything you'd like to share? Favorite hobby, perhaps? Holiday dish?
She apologizes for being a Packer fan.
Not hardly, yeah.
It's spoken from a Bear fan.
The chair of this committee does not recognize football.
Okay. Judy's been around a long time. I've known her for a little longer, forever. Been on just about every other committee in the world, haven't you?
I've been on a few.
Yeah.
She's been around.
I'm making the motion to approve Judy Jensen.
Second.
Motion to approve by Supervisor Gable, second by Supervisor Decker. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Congratulations.
Thank you.
If that's in order.
Agenda item 5, resolution to approve the county executive appointment of William Erickson to the Kenosha County Veterans Service Commission.
Bill has served our country proudly as a United States Marine and also as a former Kenosha County employee. So this would be a new appointment to the Veterans Commission, and he is here this evening if anybody has any questions.
Bill's been around for a long time and been
It's good to see you.
Same here.
Anything you'd like to share with us?
When did you serve?
64 to 67.
You were a Marine, right?
I was in the Marines for 3 years, yes. Three very good years of my life. Among the best.
That's good.
I'm Navy.
Yeah. Where were you stationed?
Camp Pendleton, Camp Lejeune. For my 3 years.
Well, one of the things that I'll say is that I know that this committee has been periodically looking at some issues pertaining to veterans, particularly as far as PTSD and mental health. And certainly I know we've had conversations about making sure folks had access to jobs. So if there's any way that we can be stronger in those areas or any others, as I've said to everyone else who sat in that chair pertaining to veterans, don't hesitate to phone call, email, whatever it is, so that we can get on top of it.
And I'll keep that in mind, Davon.
Yes, sir.
I attended the first meeting of the Veterans Service Commission. There are two other members and myself on the commission. And we, at my first meeting, we discussed how the commission can help our county veteran service officer share information on veterans benefits and that veterans west of I-94 might be entitled to, and because there are isolated pockets out in west of I-94, and some veterans really, really aren't aware of the benefits that they might be entitled to, of the treatment of the benefits that the Veterans Administration might provide to them in terms of transportation and other areas. And so our goal on the commission, the three of us, will be to help the CVSO bring those services to veterans west of I-94. Veterans east of I-94 usually do know, are able to come to the Kenosha County Job Center and come to the office and be helped. But west of I-94, there's a lack. So the three of us all agreed that we would work very closely to, for example, working with the postmasters and the elected officials in the townships and the villages west of I-94. If they know of any veteran that might be alone, isolated, then we will give that information to Aldi Nelson, our CVSO, and he'll go out. Also, we talked about having him spend maybe two days a month in different townships or town halls out there where veterans out there can come to him. So that's our task, and I'm looking forward to it.
You've been at that breakfast they have at the festival?
Yes, the Heroes Cafe. I've
been there. Yeah, it seems like that's not a bad place to get the word out. When I was there, it was a bunch of veterans.
Right, right. So, but again, some of the veterans from west of I-94 don't come to that. That's usually for veterans east of I-94 where it's more convenient for them. They live closer. But again, it's open to anyone in Kenosha, any veteran in Kenosha County. So I'm looking forward to my new duties on the commission.
I move that we accept Bill Erickson for his appointment.
A second.
There's been a motion to approve by Supervisor Gable, a second by Supervisor Blau, Youth and Governance.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye. Aye.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Agenda item number 6, child support. Presentation of Supporting Parents, Supporting Kids, SPSK program.
I invited Nina Taylor to come here this evening. She oversees the SPSK program. I believe she's presented in front of this committee before. And she also brought Mr. Juan Garcia with her this evening that will be adding comments about the value of this program. So, Nina.
Thank you. We're in year three for this grant. It was a 5-year federal grant that we got in child support. We have some early interim findings. That is a very long document that was out on the Civics Plus website for you to look through if you want to see some of the early findings.
There's all of these.
So we didn't print all those out. It was rather lengthy. So I apologize if I'm repeating some information for those of you.
Is this the whole thing?
That is the whole thing.
Can I take this?
Yeah. Sure.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
No, they will chain it to the desk later.
I'll be here at the desk with pizza.
So one of the big things that we were charged with was enrolling 750 people in the three-year period. And that was a daunting task for us to get people enrolled because people want the service. And if they don't want the service, they're not going to show up. So we really had to change the culture of child support, where we're not just enforcement related, we're also trying to bring people in and provide help and services and resources. So they really had to change the way they provided their services and child support, and it took them a while to get used to that change. But I think when you meet with someone face to face and you talk to them and you hear what they're going through, it makes you realize what's really going on out there with people, and it makes you want to help them. You know, it's when someone has a child support order, there's many people, they want to pay their child support. They're willing, but they're just not able, and they have many barriers. So if we can do anything to help them so that they can pay their child support, then the families are going to be better. Everybody's going to be happier. We're really pleased, though. So the child support team, they really changed the way they provided their services, because that's how you recruit people, is the child support worker. It's, you know, if they come from court, they're not going to really want to engage because they've been ordered to come over. So thanks to them, we're at 646 enrollments as of February, which is 105%. And so we have the second highest enrollments. Wisconsin has the second highest enrollments across all eight states. There's eight states that got this grant. And the one state that's beating us, they have five different sites to provide the service. In Wisconsin, it's only offered in Kenosha or Green Bay. And we're beating Brown County, I should say. And we're beating Brown County right now, which is, we're very competitive about that, and we really want to beat them. And across the nation, with the eight states, they're at 85% of the target, which is 12,000 non-custodial parents. So the findings that come out of this study are going to make a difference on policy, because it's such a large pool. And again, it's a sophisticated research design that they're using with a random assignment. So that makes the findings all that more positive and respected. That's the most rigorous evaluation method you could use, as a random assignment. So that being said, our employment partner is Goodwill, and they also provide the fatherhood services. So with this grant, what we do is we provide expedited child support services, employment services, and parenting services. And the enhanced services group, the employment people from Goodwill, they're keeping track of the employments and the wages. And right now, if you're in the extra services group like Juan is in, you can see that the full-time employments are 2.2 times higher than in the regular services, which is the control group. And the enhanced services group is earning almost $2 an hour more. So we're really happy to see that. We can see that it's working. But of course, this is anecdotal, our information. We're not sophisticated researchers. So what I really am looking forward to seeing is what comes out from the evaluators. Do they see more people are employed, more families are having, you know, relationships with each other and seeing their children? There's more access to children. And is child support being paid? And is it being paid regularly? So here are some of the demographics that we've seen in the preliminary research that in that large packet there.
The people that are in this program, were they people that weren't paying their child support before?
Correct.
So it's not, this excludes anyone that is current in their child support.
Correct.
Okay.
You have to have a current support order and you're paying 50% or less.
Okay.
The average age of the participants is 35, and 90% of them are men. Interestingly, 41% received food share in the last 30 days prior to enrollment. And 54% did work for pay in the last 30 days, but the median amount earned was only $500. And you also have 62% that are uninsured. So these are individuals that are really having a hard time making it, and they need help, and they need individualized support. In regard to family relationships, most participants had three children with two partners on average. More than half were never married. 37% said that the father was not at all involved. And I think this is a big one. 79% stated they did not spend as much time as they wanted with the child. And 27% of those stated it was because the other parent made it difficult. And we see that a lot. And we're really not supposed to get involved with visitation and placement. So what we try to do is provide resources to people, and also to the parenting class, they learn what their rights are as a father or a non-custodial parent, because there's women that are in there too. That, you know, you have a right to see your child. Just because you can't pay your child support doesn't mean that you don't get to see your child. And everybody does better when the parents are both involved. So that's what we're encouraging. And then that note there about 21% disclosed depression. When they agree to be in the study, they get a half-hour phone interview, and everybody gets the same set of questions. And so 21% disclosed depression. So I would imagine that the rate of depression is probably higher, because we might be depressed and not even realize it. Or maybe we just don't want to disclose it to the evaluator on the phone. And, you know, it makes sense, because if you want to see, I've seen men come in that really want to see their child, and when they start talking about that, they get very emotional. I've seen people get really upset about it. They kind of bury it and shove it down because they feel there's nothing that they can do about it. So we're trying to teach them that there is something you can do about it. One thing that through this grant, like a lot of neat things have happened to this great grant and new relationships and collaborations. We met with the ELCA Urban Outreach Center, and they agreed to provide 20 minutes of pro bono legal services to our child support payers. And so that gives them an opportunity to go talk to somebody, maybe help them fill out the motion so that they can see their child to try to enforce their visitation. So we're happy about that. So how do we engage people? What works to try to keep people engaged in these services that we feel in the long run is going to help families? You got to rapidly engage people. As soon as they sign up for the program and they're in the program, we want to see them, if not that day with the employment people, within 5 days. And if they don't show up for an appointment, we call them and say, we really want you to show up. We care about you. And we have to let them know that we truly do care, because if we don't care, sometimes they're not going to care. And it makes a difference. At first I was kind of like, why should you have to call somebody to remind them about an appointment ahead of time or afterwards? You know, people should be coming to the service because it's great. But people in these situations have so many barriers, so many things going on in their lives. Any kind of support that they can get to help them makes a difference, and it makes the program work. So we're willing to do whatever we can do to keep people coming to the program. The fact that we're co-located with the employment services and the parenting services at the job center is just fantastic. Other sites that don't have that co-location, they're struggling. You know, it's hard for the non-custodial parent to travel to some other place for a parenting class and then travel somewhere else for the employment. So, and then we talk to each other because we're all in the same building, so we talk about our clients and what can we do to provide the best service to them. We give them calendars with all their activities. And then we have some group activities through the parenting course and through a work experience course where they can meet in groups, again, so they can network and strengthen their relationship as a parent and also network on different jobs and opportunities that are out in the community. Incentives and work supports are also a biggie. With this population, if you've been out of work for a while, it's hard for you to pay for the gas to travel to go, you know, interview and such. Or maybe the bus pass, you need the bus pass. So bus passes and gas cards have been very important. Sometimes uniforms, sometimes some tools, work boots, things like that. So if somebody is coming to everything and really trying hard, they're gonna get these work supports. Incentives were also a biggie. The state of Wisconsin, who is the grantee at the Department of Children and Families, they agreed that if someone finished the parenting peer group, that they could have $250 written off of their estate debt. And if they paid their child support in full for a month, they could have $500 written off of their estate debt. And at 3 months, $750, at 6 months, $1,000, and then $2,000 after a year. So that was great that the state agreed to do that. And for people who have been getting that, some people have 3 or 4 cases with birth expenses on each case, so it helps them to get out of debt. And then also, if they enroll in the program, then the child support worker is going to postpone filing a contempt action. They'll lift the driver's license suspension if it's in place, or they won't go forward with that, because the person's actively trying to find work. So let's help them find the work. If they're doing everything, they get some time. Okay, barriers. There's a lot of barriers with this group of people for them to obtain and maintain employment. 70% have a criminal conviction. I mean, can you believe that? That's a big number. And 95% reported that they were incarcerated prior, and a third of them are on probation and parole. So that being said, we are going to the jails to meet with people, to try to get them to enroll in the program. When we know they're about to get out, we send them the information. And we've had people that are now coming down to the job center just right after they got out and to enroll in services and try to get going in the right direction. Probation and parole also will send people to us to try to get them employed as quickly as possible. Due to the incarcerations or working under the table, there are employment gaps. So their resume, you know, needs support. And there's a lack of career path with some of the individuals. So we try to get an employment plan with them, an agreement with them. Where do you want to go? What do you see, you know, for your future? What kind of educational needs do you have? And we try to encourage education as much as we can, and we can pay for the GED or the HSED testing through the grant. Access to transportation, like I mentioned earlier, is also a big one. And then the untreated mental health and substance abuse issues. They have weekly appointments with a job developer, and they usually get pretty close with that job developer. And so then they might disclose certain things that are going on with their mental health or substance abuse.
Does 70% have criminal convictions? That's gotta, I mean, employers are real hesitant, you know.
They are. These individuals have to work five times harder to find a job.
Yeah.
And so, like our job developer, she has some relationships with some employers in town. So she can vouch for someone and try to get them placed somewhere. So that's
once you
helpful.
Get a work history, it's a little easier to move up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To prove yourself. So we've proposed sustainability plans to the Department of Children and Families, because when the grant ends in year five, we want to continue providing these services because we find it's very helpful. We've even seen that our current support collections and our arrears collections are going up. Now, I think that's attributed to other things that the staff are doing. They're targeting.
Keep going. I'll
targeting their work efforts and that. But I think every little bit when people are paying their child support, you know, it increases our collections.
How long is a typical enrollee in this program? Is it, have they been the entire 3 years? Is it a year program, or is it?
They're in it until they're employed.
Okay.
And then if they lose their job for some reason, we rapidly re-engage them to try to get them employed again. Some people it takes 3 to 6 months before they get a job.
Okay, so it's your focus is getting them a job so they can afford to pay the child support. That's basically the focus?
Yes.
And then also other support behind the scenes, but okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And then it helps with self-esteem. The faster they're working, the faster they start to feel better about themselves too. So one of the requests that we sent to the Department of Children and Families was the coup de grace request is that I would love it if they could use TANF funding to continue our services. And when you use TANF funding, then we can have the work.
What's TANF?
Temporary Assistance for Needy Families.
Thank you.
So we can get the workman's compensation insurance through TANF funding, which would mean we could have subsidized placements for people who have criminal records. If we could put them somewhere where they can show their, you know, what a good employee they are, and it's subsidized for 30 days, then the employer might be more likely to hire the person because they got to try the person out for a while. And we'd want to keep it the way we have it now, where we have two employment support specialists / job developer / jack of all trades, and then a parenting employment support specialist. That design with those three people, it seems to be working the best for us. The second thing that we could do is the Office of Child Support Enforcement submitted a notice of proposed rulemaking, which is another lengthy document. But what they're asking for that applies to us is that we could get federal reimbursement if child support provided direct employment services we're not allowed to get reimbursement now if we were to provide direct employment services. We can only do it through this grant. It's an exception. And then we contract with someone for it. So if they do say that we can get the 4D funding for it, that means two-thirds of the salary will be paid and reimbursed by the feds.
So I'm guessing because it's a statewide thing, Brown County as well is saying we want this too.
Yes.
So is like our state association aware that this is a priority?
Do you know it has WCSA or WCA?
No, they haven't contacted.
And I'm asking because had it not been for the tow last week, if I had known about this, I would have been on the Hill talking about this.
Oh, thank you.
So that's why. I mean, if it's only eight states and, you know, we're one of the eight and it's really working well for us like it is, then we need to jump on that to make that happen.
Yeah, it probably hasn't become so much of a statewide push because there is only two counties in Wisconsin.
Okay, let's change that then.
We certainly can carry that message forward.
Sure, whatever I can do to do that.
And if you need us to help further, just let me know.
Okay. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Great. And then the last worst case scenario is we would transition back to our old program, which was Children's First. And we've learned so much through this grant that we'll beef up our Children's First programming, but we'll be really limited by only having one person and not, you know, three people provide, and work supports and incentives and all those other things that we have in our program now. But we'll do the best we can. There's different places we can refer people to for employment supports already in the community. The difference is it's not child support led, so we have no control over how they provide the service, and they might kick somebody out of the program because they didn't, you know, meet some program goal, where we're all about, hey, if you want to find work, we're going to be with you all the way. So, but another thing that's good I wanted to tell you about, too, is that, I don't know, you probably heard about Charmaine Harris. He was in the paper with his Dedicated Dads program that he does at the Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency through the WIC program. That is a great program. So when they finish our parenting program, we refer them to Charmaine's fatherhood program, and that's just fathers, because then they can continue to network and empower themselves and do whatever they need to do to be the best dad that they think that is. So that's a great program that we have going in the community. So I know I can refer people to that, you know. So we've learned a lot through this grant. And then this is a statement by a gentleman that he said, you know, he used to hang up the phone when child support called. But now that he's met us, he sees we're trying to help him, that now he's willing to work with us, and he can see that we have his child's best interests in mind. And Mr. Garcia is here tonight. He was one of the first people that was in the grant. And we've been very impressed with Juan. He's been a hard worker. And you've been employed, and things have been going great for you. So I appreciate you, you know, giving your time on short notice to come and share your experiences. I mean, and throw us under the bus if we did anything wrong.
I think in the beginning, you know, I've been paying child support for my children. Now the children are grown, and I have three teenagers, and I think the biggest thing for me was, you know, child support would enforce that I pay, you know, child support for my children, but, you know, there was never any of the other resources available to help me, you know, gain employment, stay employed, and then at the same time, you know, get some kind of action so that I could see my children. I mean, I haven't seen my children since 2008, you know what I mean, and the mother bounces from county to county, so she's able to evade, you know, me being able to see them. So, I mean, I think that in that respect, there could be more focus on helping fathers get, you know, action legally, because in order to take her back to court, I have to hire an attorney. And I don't have the funds to, you know, available right now to hire an attorney so that I can take her back to court. So that's another issue. But this program has been helpful in the sense that, you know, the child developer that I meet with on a regular basis, you know, I consider her a friend because, you know, she listens to me, she encourages me to set the bar higher, not just settle for whatever, you know what I mean? So just kind of see myself, I guess, greater than I did before. So, you know, the employment part was awesome because, you know, every time I go see her, she kind of, you know, give me some good job leads and, you know, help with resume building and all that good stuff. And, you know, I stay working, and right now I'm in the middle of a career move, so she's kind of helping in that area also. But, so the incentive after working a year, you know, they sent me a letter in the mail telling me that, you know, $2,500 towards my arrears, you know, was being you know, taking off. So, I mean, that was awesome. I never expected it. That was just a bonus to just, you know, being a part of this program. So I see what it's done in my life and in the life of the other participants that I've been involved with, you know what I mean? And some of the other programs that, you know, I voluntarily, you know, took, you know, just, it's always good to gain more, I guess, knowledge or wisdom or whatever. So it's been extremely helpful. I mean, I used to, like this guy that, you know, offered up the comment, you know, I hated child support. You know what I mean? It wasn't because I didn't want to pay for my children. It just, I just felt like, you know, I'm good enough to pay for them, but I'm not good enough to be in their life or see them. You know what I mean? And in essence, you know what I mean? That's not necessarily true, you know, and through this program, I see things a lot differently now. So, you know, I've matured in the beginning of this, you know, journey, I guess, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm still growing all the time, but they help in itself quite a bit.
Thanks, Juan.
Yeah.
Any questions?
I have one. I've sort of been curious about race and ethnic data, if that's somewhere buried in here.
Yeah, it varies. They gave us, it should be in there.
Okay.
Maybe it's not. It might be in something that I saw at one of our evaluation meetings.
Here it is.
Is it 5 to 79% or something like that? It varies across sites. And
staff characteristics.
Oh, but so it varies across all the sites. 5% to I think 70 something percent are non-white. So, for example, I know the California site is heavily Hispanic. And for our site, I don't have exactly what the breakdown is for Kenosha, but I would think I'd say it's 50% non-white. Any other 50% would be white, which includes Hispanics.
Can you find those and send those to me if that's
yeah.
okay? All of them that you have access to, that are not just Kenosha, but Kenosha and all the others.
Yeah, in fact, I'll ask the evaluators if I can get a breakdown.
Yeah,
that would
be great.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Supervisor Blount, you have a question?
Yeah, I do. This is the second slide you had. You're talking about regular benefits and enhanced benefits. What is that? What's
okay.
the difference? What is?
Half of the people will get randomly assigned. We click a button on the computer when we put their ID number in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a computer algorithm that'll just, it has nothing to do with what anybody says. 50% go into the SPSK program, and the other half get business as usual. And that made us feel bad because we're like, somebody came in and they really wanted help finding employment and then they don't get into the program, and some people get really bummed about that. So we created a folder of information that we give them, and we go through the whole folder with them. We answer any questions that they have about child support or anything else. And we would refer them to FSET, Food Share Employment and Training, but that would be something they'd have to do on their own, so they're not going to get intensive case management. They got to do this all on their own. We tell them about the services that are offered in the job mm-hmm. center already, resume building, job readiness classes. We refer them to WIOA, which is Workforce Investment Opportunity Act. And then we can also refer them, the W-2 program is starting to work with non-custodial parents if they have a child that's in a W-2 household.
Mm-hmm.
So we can refer them to that too. We give them information about fidelity bonding if they have a record, and supposedly felony friendly employers that are on the back. We talk to them about doing 10 job searches a week. They should probably do more, but at least 10. We give them a resource guide, and the first 16 pages is full of websites of the different employers, the different positions in the area, and general job search websites so that they can meet their job search requirements. And then it has a where to go for help in the back, like housing, transportation, AOVA issues, crisis counseling, things like that. And it, you know, when we have the appointment with the person, it can take an hour or more. So sometimes they open up and then we kind of know where to refer people to. And then the pro se legal services are in here, temporary agencies, the dedicated dads program so they could go to a fatherhood program in the community, and some child support information too. So they leave with something, and sometimes we even walk them across the hall to Employment Central and explain, you know, where they put the job leads every week and how they can go in there and talk to the state employees and use the computers to search for their jobs. So they feel Like they got something when they left. They just don't get into the program. But everybody who takes a survey gets a $10 gift card because you should get something for your time. So the University of Wisconsin, who does evaluation, they give them the gift card.
Supervisor Decker.
You said that they have to do 10 job searches for their employment. Is that, what is that for? Why do they have to do that?
Well, if they were to go to court because they were going to be found in contempt, the commissioner will order them to do 10 job searches per week.
Okay, so, but they're working on it, kind of,
yeah.
Looking for a job, okay.
Right.
All right.
So we want them to keep track of it now in case the wheels fall off the bus. Then they have a folder and they have their work searches, and if they end up in court, they can show that they've been trying.
Okay. So it's okay. Gotcha. You know, I was just, because you said, 95% of them are, they have criminal records or they, or
74%, I think it
was. Was it 74%?
94 had been incarcerated.
Okay, 94 was incarcerated. When they come out of jail, and they obviously are unemployed because they just came out of jail, they don't have unemployment or anything like that, so they come out and they have they right away need to find a job to get money, correct?
Yeah.
And right. So they have to, okay. All right, just making sure that's, and okay.
Yep, anybody who's getting out, we want to see them.
And then they have child support that's due, but they don't have a job.
Right.
Okay.
That's a lot.
You said that folder was for the guys that didn't make it in the system?
Yeah.
Okay.
The ones that don't get into the grant.
Yeah.
And sometimes
the people in the grant get more than 10 job calls. I mean, you guys actually.
Yeah, she'll pull. I don't know how many job leads that she. Depends on your field, but.
Yeah, it depends on the field.
She'll pull several job leads for them and encourage them to make sure that they're doing their job searches.
Yeah, that's kind of the guy that's out in.
He's got to do it on his own.
Yeah.
He's got to take the initiative. And we see intensive case management really makes a difference.
There's really not much more you can do for them. I mean, you refer to them to that dad's program, but pretty much they're on their own.
Yeah, they have to take the initiative. So we'll be glad when we don't have to enroll people after September 30th, and everybody can come.
So I guess I'm sort of curious, what about furthering the education of these folks?
That's important.
Where does that fall into this picture?
If we see that they have not graduated from high school, we're going to encourage them to get their GED or their HSED. If they want training for a certain position, like CNC operator or something like that, we'll use WIOA so they can go through that funding stream to try to get a certificate. We're always encouraging people to go back to Gateway and finish their education if they had been going to Gateway. Or we'll talk to them about getting a bachelor's degree. You know, they make this employment plan with the person. It's about finding work as quickly as possible, but it's also about long-term goals. And putting that idea into somebody's head who never thought that they could get a bachelor's degree or never thought that they could get an associate's degree. We don't have money to pay for that, but mm-hmm. We're going to encourage them and try to help them figure it out.
It's interesting to hear you talk about the CNC. I know that came up a year or two ago in the Finance Committee with Terry Rose and Todd Battle. And it only works if we have the justice piece for folks who have, you know, convictions. I mean, that was pretty clear. You know, Todd says it's great we have all these people coming in, but some of them have felonies on their record. And he was reminded by Chairman Rose that unless the felony conviction is related to the job, you still have to hire the person. Otherwise, it's discrimination and it's against the law. So it only works if we uphold the justice piece on our end.
Okay. I don't. What do you mean exactly? Like what? Was it in the courts?
To do all of this and then to go and further the education like you suggested and then to have the employer say, when it's against the law, does not help said person. So we need to be on the justice piece, hardcore.
Yes. And if we can work with employers to do the subsidized employment, then we'll, you know, I think further the cause as well, because then they'll be hiring them.
Which is great, but they also shouldn't be breaking the law.
Right. Yeah.
They're a state bill that was going to take that off the job application, whether you were convicted.
Oh, yeah, get rid of the box?
Yeah.
Talk mm-hmm. about it, but I mean, we're not there yet.
Yeah, they look at CCAP, the employers do. Yeah. That's why it's nice to have somebody advocate for you. People change. I mean, they might have a bad period in their life and they change.
I'm living testimony. it started out bad. And, you know, you just get to that point where, you know, get as far as you can go, and it's time to, you know, go the other way. You know what I mean? I'm currently enrolled at school. You know what I mean? My life is completely different than it was 20 years ago.
What are you going to school for?
Office assistant.
And what were you before?
What was that before?
Mm-hmm.
I was
You said you were changing your...
Oh, no.
You said you were changing your career paths.
Oh, no. Yeah, I was an injection molding operator at Niagara. Okay. Time to do something where I can give back. I mean, I don't know if office assistant is a route to go, but it's a stepping stone, so.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Well, the jobs are out there. They are.
Yeah. I want them to pay more, but yeah.
I would like more of them to be full-time.
Yeah.
I mean, somehow 32 hours a week, I don't consider good employment.
Yeah,
but basically, that's what a lot of the jobs I'm seeing out there right now, a lot of people tell me. 32 hours a week. They don't have to provide me insurance.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Problem.
Any other questions?
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you Wednesday.
Okay.
Thank you.
Agenda item 7, such other business is authorized by law. I don't believe there is any. Agenda item 8, committee member comments. I think I have just one. I believe this is our last meeting, isn't it? Wait, one more?
One more.
Okay. All right. So next to last meeting. I may bring food for the last one. We'll see. Don't tell the people who are here.
One more.
Any other committee member comments? Okay.
Motion to adjourn?
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by
the board.
Take cover,
Michelle.
Aye.
Meeting.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Make sure you sign the two resolutions here.
Thank you.
I've never made a mistake in my entire life.
I ordered a whole box and.
Not in your pocket?
They're not. They don't look nice, but they write nice.
Dad, I made one, but I fixed it.
Yeah. Pilot P500.
Okay, pen goes back where I found it. Otherwise, I'll never
Wait a minute, you got to sign.